Blog Talk Radio.
Feels so good to make it this far. And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said surely this is it. But I held on, and I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I fell, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So, for my life. For my life, it may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized, but to see your face one day, God, I know it's all gonna be worth. Brought me thank you for. I know it was you, God. I just want to take the time to say thank you, Jesus, for my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my life.
Amen, amen. You're listening to one of my favorites. By Smoking Awful, dear God, I thank you for my life. Truly, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, I don't know where I would be today. And I'm certain many of you all can have that same testimony. If it had not been for the Lord, amen. Truly, we know with God, all things are possible. Amen. And we just have been enjoying the Lord this week and this subject matter that he gave us in a question form. Is there anything too hard for God? Hey, Jesus, when you can just answer that question and you begin to reflect upon everything that you've been through, like Smoking Awful said, everything that you've been through, I know there were some difficult moments. I know there were some situations that you thought you would never see your way out. I know you have been disappointed and hurt by some people. Hey, family members, friends, co-workers, people you meet in your everyday walk, and I'm certain you haven't always been in a place where you could just let all of these things roll off. Amen. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus, when you think about that there wasn't anything too hard for God, because everything that we've gone through, we had to have help. Hallelujah. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how manic you are. I don't care how much money you have. Guess what? We all need God. Hallelujah. He is the answer to all of our questions, and he's able to answer that today. Is there anything too hard for God? Oh, I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. I'm excited about what he's doing in my sister's and my brother's life. I'm excited about God being God all by himself. Amen. So we greet you in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. We thank you once again for tuning in to New Destiny Ministries, a time of reflection. We're on this broadcast. Today is our 505th episode, 19 months, Monday through Friday, with going forth in heaven, women and men of God to come on and share the word of God with us. We don't come on to debate. We don't come on to contradict God's word. We come on where we can be an encouragement, where we can enlighten and empower others to pursue their destiny, because we all have a destiny, and that destiny is in Christ Jesus. So we're on at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 1 o'clock. Amen. And on Saturday, we have Minister Billy Burns that hosts our Saturday out of North Carolina, and she's on with the segment entitled They Overcame. And this is a time for you to share your testimonies. If you've never had an opportunity to really share your testimony before a live audience, you can do that on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. Pacific Time, 7 a.m. Central, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Sunday morning at 7 a.m., we come on the line and have corporate prayer where we just get some prayer in before we go to our respective houses of worship. Amen. That's just a time where you can just illuminate yourself. And when you walk into your house of worship, you don't need the praise team to pump you up because you've already spent some quality time crying out to the Lord. Amen. So we're just so excited about what God is doing. And this is a series that I see running for a couple of weeks until the Lord says something different. I pride myself on trying to be moved by the Spirit of God and what God is saying for us in this hour. Amen. So this is the question. This topic here, is there anything too hard for God? We can find something in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to validate and document that there's nothing too hard for God. There are so many patriarchs of old, but even us that are living today, we can answer that question and say, when I thought it was difficult, God came on in. God came on in. So God is looking for us to set aside our differences and to set aside the things that we want to do and we want, and he wants us to implement his plan, because with God, all things are possible. But sometimes we want to take the lead. We want to do it. Yes, he gives us intuition. He gives us discernment. He gives us the ability. He gives us the intellect. He gives us the ability to be able to articulate. But guess what? With it all gone wrong, if it had not been for God, if we don't consult him, if we don't go to him, then we'll get lost in a maze. Hallelujah. You'll be trying to figure out, how did I get here? Well, many times we get there because we want to do everything. We don't want to entrust anything to God. But if you can entrust your life, you can entrust your career, you can entrust the wisdom that you think you have and give it to God, he'll work it out. He'll work it out because he's a God that can't fail and won't fail. Amen. So we're just excited today to have back with us, and he's no stranger to New Destiny Ministries. He's no stranger to my life and my family life and those that I associate with in the ministry. He's no stranger. He's been a friend. He's been a counselor. He's been a pastor. He's been someone that I have been able to go to sometimes when I've been distraught. A wonderful man of God. He's married and has two children and three grandchildren, and he has a thriving ministry here in Stockton, California at Christ Redeeming Center at 2281 East Main Street. That's in Stockton, California. Amen. So we're honored to have him with us today to minister this word today. Is there anything too hard for God? So with no further ado, we'd like to present to some and introduce to others our speaker of the hour, and that's none other than Pastor, Doctor, Teacher, Dr. Kenneth E. Burford. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Burford. We're so honored that you made the sacrifice to come and minister for us today, and we looking forward to the fellowship and looking forward to what God is saying in this hour. God bless you.
God bless you also. I'm so thankful to the Lord for this opportunity and privilege and this honor. I count it really a blessing and really an honor to even be considered to be part of something that is so God-ordained. And I'm just honored to be here. I'm thankful to you, Evangelist Bernard, and God bless you to all who are on the line on this morning, this afternoon. We're just thanking God for this time and for this place and for this space. Before we get started, and I do apologize, I was a little late getting on. I had a few problems. There was a transposed number as I was dialing in, But we're here today. We're here. And thank God. There's no excuse, but we're here. Father,
Amen.
Right now, in Jesus' awesome name, I come again into your presence. Not that we ever left it, but we come before you again. And Father, we glorify you and we magnify you. We exalt you above everything, above every obstacle, above every challenge, even above the sickness in our bodies. We exalt you above everything, above our children, above our circumstances. Father, we exalt you above everything. There is nothing that we bring before you that is of anxiety, stress, and worry, because we know that God in us is greater than anything that's in this world. I am of God, says the word of the Lord, and have overcome them, because greater is in me. And because greater is in me, there is nothing that this system of this world can override and overtake. For the Bible declares that whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for the status of being born again, of being a child of God, and therefore subduing, controlling, dominating the system, the order, or the arrangement of this world system. I thank you right now, Father, and I praise you that the mind of Christ is flowing through us, not only through us, but throughout the earth. The airwaves are full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. The atmosphere is full of the glory of God. And today, Father, we give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving for this knowledge and for this privilege in the name of the awesome Jesus. And we say amen.
Amen.
We say amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a little careful how I approach this particular subject and question. The question is there anything too hard for God? I'm careful in my approach to it only because of my background, my upbringing in the Pentecostal circles, and our culture that I have been raised in. And what I mean by that is we tend to accept the fact that God is powerful, but it's difficult for us to accept the fact that God is powerful in us.
Come on.
We can accept the fact that God and his thought process is far above all others, and not really realizing that when Isaiah said that, he was talking about those who were outside of God. But we fail to embrace the fact that the mind of God is operating in us. So there's always this disconnect from God as we're trying to be connected. Even in our search for God, we're constantly denying the fact that we have the authority or the power, but we're looking for it. When he told us that, behold, I give unto you power. When he told us that we are born again, and if we are born again, we overcome the systems of this world. So I'm approaching this subject with a little caution, with a little apprehension, but I'm gonna barrel my way through it anyway. So let's look at Genesis. Let's see. Yes. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18 and verses 14. Now, the verse 14, this is the statement. Well, let's go to 13 because we want to know who made the statement. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Or why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, we see this in the book of Genesis, and we see this as it concerns the promise that God had made to Abram and the promise that God had made even to Sarah concerning the heritage that they were going to begin, and the children and the nations and the country and the blessings that were going to come out of these two. And Sarah had given up hope, basically. She had given up on the idea that this was even possible. She gave up on the idea that something like this could occur, dealing primarily with natural means and natural view and physical knowledge of the fact that she was beyond the age to bear children. I mean, she even made a smirky remark and said, "Shall I even have pleasure? You know, I'm the age that I am, and you're talking, because we know, you know, that Abram's going to have to do this, so is there going to be anything for me in this? You know, I'm so old." So this woman was looking at the pure natural humanistic side of the promises of God. And God was not, Jehovah, that's who that was speaking, the God who pursues us, the God who's the I am that I am, the God who's in, who reveals himself to his people. He wasn't saying this to her to try to validate the fact that he has power. He was saying this to her to jolt her thinking and her mind and her thought process. I mean, like we say in our modern Pentecostal circles, I know God is able. I just believe God is able. We need to believe God is able. Well, look, did you have anything to do with making the world? Did you have anything to do with making the moon, the sun, the universe, the different kinds of grasses, the different kinds of trees? Did you have anything to do with that? So if we, who are going to die, question the person who created all things, to me, that doesn't make sense. So the ability of God, in my mind, today, it was when I was younger, but today, the ability of God is never in the question, because he's the one who started all this. So how can I wonder or even make the statement in validation, I believe God is able? Whether I believe it or not, he has proven the fact that there ain't nobody above him. So this statement, I think, was more for the sake of Sarah than establishing some rule or some precedent. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And 14 says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So God was about to show her and prove to her that no matter what age you are, no matter where you are in life, the Lord God Almighty is still in control. And he's still the sovereign Lord and the sovereign King. He holds the blueprint and the patent on everything that we see or don't see within this universe and everyone that is made. Now, let's kind of look at Jeremiah, and I'm saying kind of because I'm not going into depth of that. I'm just kind of skimming across the top of some things because I just want to just kind of jolt our thinking just a little bit and see if you can come up with the same thing that I come up with once I finish. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, and the key verse, one of the key verses I wish to read would be 17. And verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out on, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, this is a great statement that Jeremiah is making in his prophetic discourse here, because he's predicting the fact that Israel is about to be taken into captivity by these Babylonians. But if we read the previous verses, we see where the Lord is instructing him to go to his uncle and to purchase purchase land that is his by inheritance. Purchase this land. Now, think about this. We're about to be taken over in slavery. we're about to lose our country. And in other chapters in Jeremiah, he even predicted that Jerusalem was going to be taken by the Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm.
So they're about to lose everything. Now, in the process of losing everything, and we don't even know how long we're going to be out of our country, God is telling this man, you secure that lot, because that's going to be yours now, during captivity, and after captivity, you're going to have a place that's yours. And so it is the statement is being made here, Lord, behold, I have made the heaven and the earth by that great power and outstretched arm, and nothing is too hard for you. In other words, even though we're going into captivity, this piece of property, this piece of land, this piece of real estate will be in my family forever, even though it seems like we have been totally destroyed and annihilated, because there is no impossibilities with God. So this statement, again, I believe, is a statement that is made to help us understand the infallibility of God, and not to establish his power, his might, his strength, or his ability in any kind of way. Because when we look at verse 27 of the same chapter, 32 and 27, the Father, God, is answering the prayer of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah 1 through 25 is him praying and speaking about a thing. And in Jeremiah 27, God is responding to that prayer and the things that Jeremiah was saying. And God's response was this. Verse 26 said, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. See, after he was praying, after Jeremiah was doing all this talk, God came and responded and said, behold, I am the Lord. You got that right, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I mean, you know, I can... What is it? What? I got this. So the thing that we need to understand, I believe, more than ever in this time, because I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know who's listening, and I don't know who's going to be listening in the future, in the archives, but I'm telling you, the mind of Christ, the evolution of our Christian experience is dictating to us today that we have got to come away from our 1942 view of God. God is in us, the hope of glory. And we've got to go back into the Word of God and examine the Word of God and see what's in there that speaks to the fact that God, through us, in us, by us, because of him, has control in the earth realm. Let me back up and help you with what I just said. A thought just came. So I'll go to Genesis. I'll go to that thought. I'm not going to look it up. I'm not going to even bring it up on my computer. It's just off the top of my head. I know you recall the scriptures that says, and the Lord said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and then let him have dominion over this, that, and the other. We look at that, at least I have. Let me put it on me. I looked at that as a child, as a young adult, as a middle-aged person, Lord Jesus, I'm hanging on the middle age in Jesus' name. Look at that scripture, and the first thing that comes to mind is my physical appearance. Because after all, he said he made me in his image and likeness. That's the first thing that comes to mind, physical appearance. But then we are aware that the scripture teaches us that God is a spirit. But our brain shifts it over to physical appearance. Now, the thing that really jarred my thinking was one day when I was looking at a particular Jewish program, and this Jewish man was reading from right to left, like they do, and he was giving explanation and hermeneutically interpreting that particular scripture, and he was going picture by picture, because if you know anything about the Hebrew language, it is picture framed. It's word pictures, like Chinese language. It's pictures. It's not alphabets like American, but it's pictures, and they're put together, and they have meanings for each one of the letters. And so as he was listing that verse, And speaking to that verse that God made man in his image and likeness, he said that the image and likeness that we were made of was absolutely an absolute before there was a body. So we were made in the image and likeness of God in spirit and as his spirit, as he is. We were made creative. We were made in his ability to think as he does or how he does, not what he does, because he's way, way, way bigger than us in that area. But we know the system. We know how he does it. We know how he does it. He sees things within himself. It's called faith. We know how he does it. He can see it in himself, and then he says what he sees. And once he speaks what he sees within himself, what he says out of the place of his power produces that which he saw. So anyway, we were made in his image and likeness. That image and likeness existed before he put us in this earth body, so that the image and likeness had nothing to do with the earth body. It had everything to do with the spirit of the man. So that we can operate in the systems of God. And it was proven when God allowed Adam to name the animals. He just didn't put a label on them. Adam took that which God created and gave description to it. And that thing became what Adam described it to be. In other words, Adam became a co-creator with God. He didn't make the animals, but he described their personality traits and their characteristics by the names in which he gave them. And we all know that once you name a thing, it seeks to become what you call it. So Adam was creative in that which he did by naming all the things that God had made. The creativity of God is in us. We just throw it off. And our Pentecostal language, to turn it over to Jesus, give it to God, let him have it, wait, don't do nothing, don't say a word, keep silent and just let God do it. And every time I hear that today in this place where I am in the Father now, I say, okay, I will ascribe to that as soon as you can show me in the Bible where we are told to do that. If you can show me in the Word of God where we are told to do that, I will most certainly find a way to turn it over to Jesus and give it to God. But when I look at scriptures like, I don't know, let's pick one. Let's just go to John 11:11. I wasn't planning on going there first, but let's go to St. John chapter 11, verse 11. Now, my please hear me today. My heart and my desire is not to be controversial, but my heart and my desire is to put us back face to face with the Word of God and begin to understand that the power is not questioned when it comes to God. The power is questioned when it comes to us. When it comes to us. Oh, John 11:11 was not the one I wanted to go to first. But since I'm there, let's do that. So we see John 11:11. These things said he after that he has said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Let's travel down further for the sake of time. Let's go to verse 35. 34, 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, 32, then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the next verse says, Jesus wept. Now, before I go any further, this is something that the Father laid upon my heart just a couple of days ago. And that is the fact that in my, I'm put it all on me, in my Pentecostal experience, I would think that Jesus was a man sometimes, and then he was God other times. I'm talking about when he was on earth. That he switched back and forth between being God and being man and the things that he did in the earth. Now, we know by the word of God that Jesus was and forever will be the word of God. He is the expressed image of the invisible God. That's what the Bible says. He is and was the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We beheld his glory, even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We understand that this thing, I don't know how to describe it because God is too vast, but as God speaks, that which comes out of him is God. And the God that comes out of him, we have called the Word. And we have also called it Jesus because that's who he is to us now. And so this is who he is. But when we look in the scripture, we see verses that says something like this. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, and became like men. We read verses in the Bible that says he was born under the law, born of a virgin, born under the law. We read verses that says that because he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We read verses that say because of his obedience, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So the him first was him, and then God gave him a notoriety, a label, a characteristic label, Jesus, because there were other Yeshuas. Yeshua, Jesus, Christ was not the only Yeshua. There was many. There's even a book in the Bible called Yeshua, Jesus. There's a book in there by that name, and there are others that carried that name. So that one name is not unique in that it was the only name in the world, but it was this man who suffered. It was this man who was obedient. It was this man who knew his purpose and acted out his purpose. It was this man, according to Acts 10 and 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. We see that the ministry of Jesus carried upon it the human element that allowed this Jesus to function under the law of Moses and carry out all of the rights and privileges and benefits that were under the law of Moses that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and many other people could not recognize and did not understand, did not even know that it was available to them, even under the law. It was there, but they couldn't see it. All they saw was the ritualistic rites and the ritualistic washings and the ritualistic sacrifices and things that they had to do to atone for their failings and for their coming short and for their missing the mark. They saw those things, and so they used them as rules to measure themselves right with God or not right with God based on these various things that I do and don't do and ritual washings and ritualistic things that I go through. They measured themselves and measured others according to that versus understanding the heart and mind and intent of the Father God that he laid before them on tablets of stone. They didn't see it that way. They saw it ways of list of rules and regulations. So this man, Jesus, operated in the earth realm as a human man who emptied, the Greek for that is kenosis, he emptied himself, he poured himself out, he poured out of that godness, he poured out of his majesty and that he had from the beginning, and he became a man. We know that when he prayed in John 17:17, you know, Lord, let us have that same power or that same glory that we experienced before the world was. You know, before I came and did this thing here, because he came under flesh, he came under man, he came under the confines of being a human. So the thing that made him different was he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So here we see Jesus in St. John 11. Oh, Father, help me to get this over today. I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to get us to see something here. We see this Jesus in chapter 11 of St. John, who was able to weep. He was groaning in the spirit because of the fact that these same people had something among them already that they were not benefiting or being benefited from. They had opportunities. They had all kinds of benefits. They had all kinds of things that God had set and made available to them for the benefit of their life being blessed and being nurtured and being helped and being aided by God, but yet they didn't see it and they didn't walk in it like so many of us today. And so as Jesus saw the sorrow of their heart and the hurt, the loss, the pain of loss within them, he groaned within himself because he knew that that was not the case. He was not lost. It's not over. So he groaned within himself, and he wept. He wept along with them because of their sorrow. And now look at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should not have died? So people around could understand that this man, Jesus, had some kind of authority from God to prevent. But they didn't understand that this man, Jesus, had authority from God to undo. Now, I trust that you're hearing me again, because I'm going to say it again. In the back of our head, in the back of my head, I'm switching back and forth. Is he Jesus? Is he God? Is he Jesus? Is he God? I'm telling you that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, the same Holy Ghost that we were anointed with. Now, I'm going to make another right turn and come right back here again. Scripture teaches us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is a word that was really confusing to me for a long time in my life, but it means all y'all, all them, whoever, whatever. Whatsoever born of God overcometh. The word overcometh means to subdue. It means to take charge. It means to have the victory over. It means to dominate. It means to control. Whatsoever born of God overcometh, subdues, have victory, dominates the world. We're not talking about the earth. We're talking about the system, the arrangement, the order, how it works, how it flows. Whatsoever born of God overcomes the system, the order, how it works. Everything here is subject to he who is born of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority or the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Born of God, sons of God, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Your joint heirship can be placed on alongside another word, joint tenant, which some of us may understand if you own a house. And a joint tenant, when you go into purchasing a home, means that the two parties have same equal rights and benefits of all expenses as well as the benefit to enjoy that house. There is not one above the other. There's not one that is eliminated or taken from any part of any of the benefits of ownership. They have equal ownership in being joint tenants. The scripture says we are joint heirs with Christ. So I'm not less than him. I am not under him. I have the same heirship as he does. So even as Jesus called God Father, so can I call him Father. And even as Jesus was anointed with the power of God, so am I. For as he is, so are we in this present world. That scripture that I just quoted to you. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. We are as he is, even now. Have I got off the subject? No. I'm just saying that the question is there anything too hard for God is not a question on his ability. It's a question on how can we allow God's ability to operate through us. That's the question. Because as I look at this, going back to John 11, and then I'm going to go to someplace else and I'm going to wrap this up. John 11, where it says Jesus wept, and then there was concern of whether or not he should have been there in time to prevent it. But Jesus was about to show them that it doesn't make any difference when I come, because preventing it or undoing it, it's all the same. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it has been 4 days. Now, I mentioned this the other day to another group of people that I was talking to because God made it fresh in my mind. There was something that I, again, it's important sometimes to just check out some of the Jewish programs and see the concept, the mindset, how they thought, how their culture was. And in the mind and the concept and the culture of the Jewish people, they believed that once a person died, they could come back. Something could re-enter in about 3 days' time. In 3 days, it would be possible for them to come back. But Jesus, in this case, waited until it was 4 days, gone past the time that the Jewish mindset would even think or conceive that it's possible for somebody to come back into that same body. That was a custom. That was a concept. It was a custom of theirs. It's not written in the Bible, but it was a custom belief of theirs. So Jesus waited 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, listen at this. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, you just got here, Jesus, and you're talking about you heard me in past tense. You heard me in past tense. What is really being said here? I believe if we do our diligent search and research in the Word of God, we will see that Jesus had experience in knowing that in the times of prayer, God always hears him. In the time of being in the presence of God, the Father always is attentive. And not only is he attentive, but he, God, will respond to the prayers of those who are the righteous. Because the righteous always pray the word and the will of God. Yes, they do. How can you be the righteous and you pray something out of the will of God? You're the righteous and your heart is given to God and God is in your heart and your heart's in God. How are you going to pray something out of God's will? Glory be to Jesus. It would mean you would have to be bipolar and dysfunctional. So I'm in God. So in the times that Jesus prayed, he understood that he was in the spiritual place where God resides. And in that spiritual place where God resides, he was able to communicate with God, and God always answered. God always responded, if you will, to the things that he said in the place of prayer. So he made this confession. Father, I thank you that you have always heard me. Look at verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always. When I read that the other day, that blew my socks right off my feet. Because I'm seeing three tenses in that one statement. I knew that thou hearest me always. I knew it, that you're hearing me right now, and you always will hear me. You have heard me, you are hearing me, and you always will hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, when I was speaking this to the group of people at Christ Redeeming Center the other day, I said to them, now, if this had been us, we would have said, God, come on down here and touch Lazarus and get him up from this grave. We would have been saying, Jesus, come on down here and touch this man. Jesus, come on, because I know you're able. I believe you're able. Come down here and do it. That's what we would do, and that's how we think. I want to disturb our thinking. If the Holy Spirit was on Jesus like the Holy Spirit is upon us, if Jesus was the prototype of what it meant to be a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, then it means that the power to do a thing or even to undo a thing is not outside of us. Jesus didn't ask God to do it. Jesus commanded him to do it, to come forth. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth. Jesus didn't ask God to bring Lazarus forth. Jesus spoke, Lazarus, come forth. Now, this is when our brain flips and says, well, that's God. But when did he flip over to be God then? Because he was praying. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, you are hearing me, and you always will hear me. We have the same promise, my brothers and sisters, that God will always hear you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's always attentive to your cry. He's always attentive to the words that you say in faith. So as I looked at this, this began to just really, really rearrange my thinking. That too many times we're telling God to go yonder. We're telling Jesus to do that. We're turning it over. We're giving it over to him when he's saying to us, I put this power in you. Now do something about it. The scripture teaches us that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. How is Jesus' enemies going to be made his footstool when he's sitting down? His enemies are going to be made his footstool because we are executing our ambassadorship. And it's not the matter of whether or not God is able, because the scripture says to us, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according. So many times we leave off the rest of that verse, but the ability of God is according to the power that worketh in us. The exceeding greatness of God is according to what's in us. It didn't originate from me, but he certainly put me in it when I got born again. I inherited it when I got born again. I took it on when I got born again. And even Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you might know the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah to Jesus. God, help us to get out of our religious concepts and our religious blinders, that we can't see what you've already put within us and we're trying to put off on God. And we've written so many songs about it that it reinforces that bad thinking. There's so many songs that reinforces that bad thinking. So therefore, when things arise in our neighborhoods, when things arise in our families, when things arise on our job, when things arise as circumstances and situations that come before us barreling down upon us as if it's going to snuff us completely out, we start saying, God, you do it. I know you can do it. Come on, Jesus. Come on, do this, Jesus. You the man, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, behold, I have given unto you power to tread upon the serpents, on the scorpions,
on the adders and over all of the power of the devil, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Yeah, I know you said that, Jesus, and you do it, Jesus. I can't do it. I need you to do it. Jesus said, I gave it to you. He said, look, you saw what I did the other day when I passed by that tree that didn't have any fruit on it. I cursed that thing, and then I went on to the house of the Lord, and then I overturned those tables, and we had prayer, brothers. We had prayer, disciples. We came back home, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and you walked past the same tree, and you saw that it was withered up, and you asked me, how could this happen? And I told you, have the faith of God. I told you to have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And our translations, it's kind of funny to me sometimes, because there in your King James, it says have faith in God. But when we look at scriptures like Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, where it says nothing shall be impossible with him that believe, with men these things are not possible, but with God all things are possible. It's kind of funny to me because that little word with also can be defined as in or into. In or into. The word with, its definition includes in, near, or into. So when we see scriptures that say stuff like, with man, it's not possible, but all things is possible with God, again, our Pentecostal brains flips it and say, okay, it's possible with God, but not with me, because I'm a man.
No,
scripture is telling us that I'm in God, not just near God, I'm in God. So nothing's impossible to the man who's stuck on the ability of man, but you're not just a man. You're in God. So in God ain't nothing impossible to you. For those who are in Christ, there is no impossibilities. And Jesus has proven that to us time and time again in the Word and in the Scriptures, but we view him as flipping back from being a man who got hungry, who got thirsty, who got sleepy, then flipping him over to being God Almighty. Well, he never could deny the fact that that's who he was. But that's not how he ministered in this earth. He only ministered. We see it in scriptures, my brothers and my sisters. I'm still not trying to be controversial. Please hear my heart. But we see it in scriptures where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do.
Come on.
Now, if Jesus is doing what he saw the Father do, don't the Father speak to us? God is showing you a thing. And he's showing you the end of the thing. I'm telling you, everybody who got called to ministry saw yourself preaching to thousands. You didn't see yourself starting. You saw yourself at the end.
That's right.
That's how God does it. So here we are. God is speaking to us and showing us great and mighty things. And then when we approach them, we say, now, Jesus, you do it. No. I empowered you to do it. Now, speak the word. Speak the word. And this is my final, and I'm through. I'm going to say this, and I'm through. In Romans 10:10, it talks about the righteousness which is of the law was righteous. The righteousness which is of the law said that you had to work it. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. And it speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend with heaven that's bring Christ down from above, who shall ascend the deep that's bring him up again. But what saith this? The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess. Now that word confess, because so many of us only look at the English and don't look at what the Bible was written in, we think it means to admit something. That word confessed in the Bible does not mean to admit it. It means to say the same thing. It's homologio. It's to say the same as, the same word, the same thing, the same of. So what Paul is telling us is we have to say what God has said in order to get the results that God already saw. So God saw you saved. Now you say, I am. Once you say, I am, you are admitting John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, when you say, I am, you are connecting to John 3:16. You're not saying, God, do something like save me. You're saying, I confess that Jesus died for my sins, and I am saved. And your confession is that which ignites what God has already done. Because your salvation is not waiting to happen. It happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. So it's not whether or not God is able, but we haven't got to the according to the power that's in you. We haven't gotten to the part where we understand that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We haven't gotten to the part that if you speak, you shall have whatsoever you say. That's Mark 11. We haven't got to the point where we look at Jesus as being the example, not the out of touch, out of reach, incomparable God, but the man who was anointed by God to show you. Remember, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the thing that he suffered. Remember, he submitted to being born of a woman, coming under the law, putting on flesh, becoming as a servant. He became a man. He became a man so that you could be a man anointed of God. There's a theological phrase, that is hypostatic union. It means he was fully God yet fully man. And yes, he was fully God and fully man, so that you could be fully man, full of God. And the more we begin to understand that God is in me, reconciling the world to himself, and stop giving it over to Jesus, turning it over to God, throwing it in God's hands, and you start walking and declaring, the God that's in me right now says to you, man, be delivered. I said that that was my last thing, but one thing leads to another. I can't help but look at Moses. I can't help it. I can't help but look at him when God told him to go tell Pharaoh and the children of Israel that I am sent thee. And we think, let me put it on me again. In my Pentecostal background, I thought that the children of Israel was in Egypt still being Hebrews. They were in Egypt for 400 years, and everything about them was Egyptian. So they knew about the Egyptian gods. They knew how the Egyptians dressed. They knew Egyptian religion. They knew all the stuff that the Egyptians did, and I guarantee you they conformed to it.
Yes, sir.
So they knew that the Egyptian gods had names and faces. They didn't know nothing about no invisible God. They knew all the gods in Egypt had names and faces. And God, in his infinite wisdom, told Moses to go tell him, I am sent thee. Now, is anybody out there thinking? Because here's this man standing in front of them saying, I am sent me. And then we have other scriptures that says Moses became God to them, as God to them. In other words, they identified that man as having God quality on him.
All right.
And they obeyed based on the fact that they knew that God was on that man and in that man. And so here we are still separating ourselves in the New Testament from God. And we're saying, he is sent me, instead of saying, I am sent me. Because the great God that created all things is in you right now. Open your mouth and begin to declare the things of God. Open up the portals of your born-again depth, the depth of your born-again Holy Ghost-filled spirit. Open those caverns up and begin to speak from there, because the Bible declares that Jesus upholds and sustains all things by the word of his power, not the power of his word. The word of And I've said this before, that the two-letter word of means coming from, having your origin from, or originating from. So if all things consist or all things are held together by the word of his power, that means that the words are coming from where the power is. So the power is the source, and the words become the containers that's filled with the power. So once we speak from that place down within our Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized soul, once we speak from there, we're releasing power from that place. But we just use containers as words, and we take those words and we launch those words and shoot them forth like grenades and shoot them forth as land grenades. And once we shoot those words out there, the word that comes from our power goes to the place where we sent it, and it explodes there. And the words that come out of your mouth will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you please and prosper anything where you have sent it. So send the word, my brothers and my sisters. Speak the word over those trees. Speak peace to that storm in your life. Speak calm to those winds. Speak death to that thing that opposes. Amen, Jesus. He talked to that tree. He spoke to that tree. He said to that tree, speak over the dead stuff like Lazarus. Don't tell God to do it. You do it, because God sent you into this earth to establish his kingdom. We are ambassadors. We are the establishers of the will of God in the earth. But if you keep going back and telling him to come down here to do it, it won't get done, because he told you to do it. And that you can find in Scripture. You ain't going to find in there where it told you to give it to God, turn it over to Jesus, don't say
that's
nothing,
right.
Be quiet, let him handle it. You ain't going to find it. But you will find where Paul looked at that girl who had been following them for days and said, I command you to come out of her. He didn't say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't say that. Look at it yourself. Look at it in your own Bible. He didn't say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Paul cast that spirit out of that girl with divination. He told her to come out. He told that spirit to come out, and it did. But if it had been us, we would have been there asking God to do it. And then it would have been a tussle. It would have been a fight, because that's not how he set it up. So in my final words, as I slow myself down and calm myself down, I don't mean to be controversial, but as I'm looking at this, I don't think the ability of God is in question here at all. What I think is, how much can you know the ability of God is working in you? And if you can understand the ability of God that's working through you, then you will know that nothing is impossible to you. For with God and in God, now remember, with and in are the same words. They have the same definitions, near, in, or into. That's what with means, near, in, or into. So with God, all things are possible. Yes, that's nearing. But also, in God, all things are possible. Where are you? I'm in God, and God's in me. If my words abide in you, and you abide in me, you ask whatever you want. You demand whatever you want. That's what ask means. There's five different words for ask in the Greek. Five different words for ask in the Greek. One of the definitions of ask is demand. So whatever you demand in my name, you'll get it. Whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. But whatever you ask in my name or demand in my name, you'll get it. There's two different things here. If you ask the Father, God will graciously give it to you as a father. But whatever you demand in my name, that's what I do. So he's telling us to learn how to use our power. Use your authority. Learn how to use your authority. Learn how to use your authority. Amen, Jesus. My sister, I trust that I did not upset things and mess things up, but I trust that you were able to convey something from the word of the Lord that made us think. Because you called it University Day. I think you did. I think you did. If it's not, it is today. And so I just pray that we were able to be a blessing of some sort in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Lord. Well, I have a few questions, and I was listening and trying to take notes at the same time and what have you, and just hearing you expound on this and, you know, talking about Peter even commanding and speaking to these spirits. Many times we, and this, I'll make a comment, but then I want to ask a question. Many times we, you know, I heard you say, and I'm listening at all of this because we put the power back into God's hand. But the Bible says, after the Holy Ghost comes, ye shall receive power. So
yep.
If God has given us something to do, we already have the power, then why is it necessary for us to petition God when the power is already dwelling on the inside of us? And I know, too, that the scripture also says to make your petition and your request, bring it before God. But after we bring that petition and that request before God, then what are we to do?
Okay, good. Good question. What you're stating, and it is the challenge for many believers. We use the word petition, and we don't know when to use petitions. Petition is when you have a request.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with demons is not requesting.
Ah, Jesus,
that's
another
different
lesson.
Thing. Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
another thing.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
a petition is like, I need a car, and I want a car that's probably I can't even afford. So I'm
mm-hmm.
petitioning the Father. Father, I'm asking for a 2013 Chrysler 300. That's my
mm-hmm.
petition. I know
mm-hmm.
that I may not be economically able to handle that, but I'm petitioning because I know that, excuse this language, but I know that the universe is full of the wealth of God. There's diamonds, gold, platinum. There's stuff floating in the universe that's just floating out there, and that's the truth, physically.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum, gold, diamonds, it's all floating out there, spinning around in the universe. So the universe is full of wealth and value. So, Father, I'm petitioning you for something, and I know that the ability of God is able to bring it to me, even if it's at a lower price. That's a petition.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to demons, when it comes to things that God has said is diametrically opposed to my saved status, my born again status, like sickness and disease, like poverty, like lack, like demons, I don't petition that.
Mm-hmm.
You demand that. That's what I said earlier when Jesus said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." That ask
mm-hmm.
there is demand. So there's a difference between a petition and a demand. So we got to know what to do. Paul wasn't petitioning for that demon to come out of that girl. Peter wasn't making no petitions. They made demands because it wasn't time for a request. It was time to take dominion. I said a whole lot of words, but did I answer that question?
Wow, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Now, another. Okay, now, this Holy Ghost power that we brag and boast on and we walk in and we thrive on, we're anointed, and, you know, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and full of this, and just say, all of a sudden I have a migraine headache. Okay. Am I to wait? Am I to make some calls to my girlfriends or to my sisters and brothers in the body to pray over this migraine when this power that I have that we've been speaking of today, this power that I have, why can't we lay hands on ourselves and demand that migraine to leave? Why do we have to call on our leaders and call on our pastors the prayers through because this migraine is bothering me. And, you know, I don't have enough faith to activate what's in me for this migraine to leave.
Okay. Again,
that's
I
just
understand.
That's just something I just thought of.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see how we can best effectively use
mm-hmm.
this power
mm-hmm.
that God
mm-hmm.
has given us.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Again, once we come to that place where we understand that we are walking in this kind of authority, once we get there, now this is not for the novice. Once you get to that place where you know that you're walking in divine authority and
mm.
the word of the Lord is in you and you're speaking the word of God and you're speaking power, then you cannot reach to somebody who gonna pray on it. You have to come to somebody that you know will speak to it.
Mm.
Because, now see, this is an example that we had in our church not too long ago, and as you know, and I don't know who else is listening, but as you know, our church has been growing, but with people who don't necessarily think along the same lines as we do. So they come in, and they've been praying about something,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted a position, and I told them first off, I said, now listen, you can't pray about this. You're going to have to speak to it. Do you believe God wanted you to have this position? Yeah. Did you see yourself in it when you prayed? Yeah. Well, stop praying about what God told you and begin to speak to it. Call it in. Say it's yours. Say where you're going to sit. Put the color of your chair. Speak to the thing. And they, because they trusted me that much, did it. Next thing you know, they said, well, I take the test for it day after tomorrow. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yes, pray for me that I pass the test. I said, wait a minute now. Didn't you see it? Yeah, I did. Well, the thing is yours. Go on and do it. Okay. They did it. They passed the written part. They passed all of it except the typing. And then because of that, they told them they couldn't get the job. They came to me, called me on the phone, said, I am so discouraged. I don't know what this is. Can you pray for me? I'm about to give up. And I said, well, did you speak? Yeah, I spoke, but it didn't work. I said, wait just a minute. The Bible says that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So are you born again? Yes. Do you know what overcome means? No. Well, you weren't listening on Wednesday night, were you? So overcome means to subdue, to dominate, to control, to take charge of the system, of the order, or arrangement of this system that we live in. So you being a child of God will rearrange the systems because God gave you that authority. Now you go back, and I'm telling you what I told him, Sister Evangelist, you go back and you speak to those people again and tell them to review your situation. He did.
Ooh.
2 days later, they come back. He comes to me and says, well, they told me that they're just going to give me an oral exam, and if I pass the oral exam, I'll have the new position. Long story short, because we didn't already made it long, but to shorten it up, he's going into that position on the 27th of this month, making twice as much money in a spot where he always wanted to be and saw himself. Why? Not because he prayed on it, but because he spoke to it. And if he had to call somebody like me and I prayed on it, he probably still wouldn't have never got it. So with the headache thing of us who's walking in this power, we first understand this. The devil's going to attack you if you go off in that spiritual realm. If you go in that spiritual realm and you start stirring up stuff out there, he's going to raise up all kinds of stuff and demon spirits against you, and he's going to come against you any way he can. If he can do it physically, he will do it physically. If he can do it economically, he will take your money if he can. Now, if he does that, we can do one of two things. We can go scrambling for somebody to pray with me, but make sure that the person that you ask to pray with you learn how to speak to it, have already learned how to speak to it, and not pray about it. I don't need nobody praying about this situation. I need somebody who understands how to speak to this tree, how to speak to this water, how to speak to this situation. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? And then I speak to it also. And I do it all the time. I do it all the time. Some people think that I'm younger than what I am, and I'm good. Lord, have mercy. I'm
Jesus, Lord, I'm past 50. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I never thought that I would see this day, but thank God I am seeing it. And so sometimes my body hurts. Sometimes my knee want to hurt going up these steps in my house. Sometimes my shoulder hurts. You all just don't understand how many times my shoulder hurts at church, the same arm that I lay hands on people with, and it's aching.
But I
speak to that thing in Jesus' name and command it to line itself up with the will of God. So that's how I get through these things. I exercise this power that's in me by speaking to my body, by speaking to my money, by speaking to situations. And if I invite somebody else to join with me in prayer, I will only invite those who know how to pray like I do.
Lord have mercy. So we need a mind change. We need a new mind can stop praying on it, and it's good to pray on it. But if we never speak to it as you said, then us praying on it, we that's why we're not seeing the manifestation. Because I believe many of us keep praying on it, but we never speak to the situation.
We pray about it and don't speak to it.
Oh, God, that's something. That's heavy.
And praying about it is restating the problem. This is praying about it. Lord, you know I need this money. Lord, you know they said they're going to foreclose on me on the 28th. Lord, you know I need money to come from something. That's praying about it. That is the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how you speak to it. I command finances to come from the north, south, east, and west. I know that the unrighteous is holding my money, and I command them to give it up. I say that I have favor with the financial institution. I decree and I have favor with all the banks. I decree and I declare that everything that God said is for light and godliness is in alignment with my life. And I'm walking towards it, and it's walking towards me. And in Jesus' name, we're going to meet, and it's going to be well with my soul. That's how you speak to it. Praying about it is listing the problem. Lord, you know we don't have no money. Jesus, please send it before the 14th. Because on the 14th, Lord, you know they said they're going to take it back. So, Jesus, if you don't send something here right quick, God, you know what's going to happen. But I know you're able.
Ah, Jesus.
The ability of God is not the question. What we do with God's ability in us is the question.
My God, my God. Woo, glory. Well, you all have heard Dr. Kenneth Burford. If you'd like to hear a little bit more, we invite you to come to 2281 East Main Street in Stockton, California. And you can hear more of this mighty man of God on your Facebook page. They have a Facebook page, Christ Redeeming Center. You can listen. This was really good, Pastor Burford. And, I, as I said earlier, I really pride myself on being led of God. And truly, I believe when I seek God, he opens up the doors. You know, seeking him is I'm praying, I'm asking, Lord, who do I call? I need some speakers. Who do I call? And God dropped people in my spirit. Pastor Burford probably haven't been on since April or May, but he dropped them in my spirit, and he was able to come on Wednesday. And I'm not boasting, and I don't take no credit for what the Spirit of God does when you are willing to be led of his Spirit. Amen. And the Lord dropped you in my spirit. I said, well, let me call Dr. Burford. Is there anything too hard for God? And as he said, the ability is not with God. He's given us the ability. He's given us the power. So why? Oh, God, this thing has ministered to me today. And I pray, that those of you all that are still with us on the line, I pray, and those that may not have heard, some people, we have listeners that's not able to be on live, on the live call, but they can go back later and listen in the archives, and that's why I love Blog Talk Radio. And the prayer lines are good, but, you know, after these free prayer conferences, these free prayer conference lines, if you don't listen to that message the day it airs, oh well, you can't go back and retrieve it. So I thank God for Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for having an opportunity where we can have this platform and we can preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for conflict, not for debate, not for us to be angry with one another, but for God to open up our understanding. Even, you know, I've been in this thing 30 years, and maybe I've been praying on some things and not really speaking to it. So today, after hearing this word today, yes, I speak on some things, but some things I'm praying on more than I'm speaking to it. So this has really helped me today. And I don't know about you all, but honey, guess what? If you have been praying long enough, it's time for you to start speaking on some things now. Excuse me a minute. Yes. I'm going to just give me a moment. I'm going to ask Sister Ruby to open up the lines and see who's on the lines right now. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Just a minute. It seems like we have a new caller. I don't know your the number, 919-7732, your line is open.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just had, this is Sister Billy Burns. I had to call in today. I had some company over, and we were just talking about that very thing and some of the things that the minister was ministering were some of the very same things that we were talking about, but you have enlightened me. I'm like you, Evangelist. I have been praying on some things, but now you've enlightened
Speak
me to the
it.
Point that I know that I can pray. I can demand some things to come forth because I have the power. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Minister Barnes. It's good to hear your voice. We're going, there's another number here I'm not familiar with. Excuse me. 214-7831.
Oh, hi, this is Dawn. How you doing, Sister Ruby?
Oh, I'm blessed. You know, you got so many numbers up in here, Sister Dawn.
I'm at work.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. You heard the message. You was going on a while. Did you have a comment for the doctor, Evangelist Bernard?
I see him every time he's on. I enjoyed it. I was doing some things while he was on, but I enjoyed everything.
Okay. Well, then God bless.
God bless you too, Sister Ruby, and everybody on the line.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to Sister T. Sister T, your line is open. Okay, maybe we'll come back to her. Okay, then I'm going to give it back to you, Evangelist Bernard. Evangelist Bernard? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay, I'm giving it back to you. Praise the Lord. I touched Sister T, but she must be mute, so I'll touch her again before you get back off, and you can call her. I'll leave a line
open.
Okay.
Can you give a comment, and I'll come right back. Sister Ruby?
What did you say?
Can you give a comment, a question, any questions?
didn't have a question. It was just a blessing to hear the word preached, the word of God in this form. Praise the Lord. I'll give it back to you.
And so the difficulties.
Evangelist Bernard?
Amen, amen. Excuse me, you all. I had an interruption for a minute, but anyway, I'm back. So that's all of the callers. We certainly thank God for Pastor Burford, Dr. Burford, being with us on today. I tell you, you have spoke some things into my spirit, and I guess sometimes that's why we are not free in our spirit, because maybe we don't know how to really exercise that gift that God has already given us. And those of us with Holy Ghost power, you know, we speak on the Holy Ghost so much. Oh, you need this, you need that. Well, if we already have it dwelling on the inside, then we should be able to impact others' lives, and we should be able also to impact our own lives and see some effective change happening in our families, in our communities, in our churches. So, you know, I'm thinking about the scripture say where we have a form of godliness, but there's no power being demonstrated. You know, we praying on it. We say, Lord, we're able, like Pastor Burford already said. We know God is able. But what about the ability that he has given us? Ah, this is a series we may be on for a while here. I believe God is not speaking, and we allow God to use the leaders that come on the line to share this word for the audience and for our listeners to make some drastic changes in our lives where we can walk in the authority and in the power that have already been vested in us. My God, I tell you. So today, Pastor Burford, I'm gonna speak to some things. I'm gonna make some demands. Hallelujah, where I can see some change. Because you know when you and that's what gets us really frustrated and get us depressed and down and out, because we praying about it, but we're not speaking to it. And I think that's why we're caught up, and then that brings on other emotions, because we don't know how to put a demand on it. I told the Lord this year, Pastor Burford, that for every seed that I sow, I don't care if it's my time, if it's money, if it's a location, whatever, I said I'm going to put a demand on that seed. So whatever I'm saying, I'm going to demand something from that.
Amen.
Oh, God, I bless you today. I bless you today. Well, we thank you, Pastor Burford. We won't hold you. We're going to come back to you for final comments. And we thank God for Sister Ruby co-hosting with us and opening up our switchboard. I got a new phone here, and I've been having problems trying to learn all of these new gadgets. Okay, so I'm going to speak to this phone, too. And so thank you, Pastor Burford.
Amen. Well, my final comment is this. It is our challenge to move with the mind of God. We cannot afford to stay stagnant back in 1942 Pentecostalism. What I mean by that is we don't even try to find the definitions of a word. We just read it off the top and just make up our own definitions as we go. And so I'm saying that again to say this. Petitions, requests, demands are all different forms and kinds of prayers. And there are places for a request. There are places for petitioning. But when it comes to those things that come against what God says you already are and already have, particularly demons or demon influences, you make demands and you speak to the thing. If Jesus is going to be the all in all to us, and you know, hallelujah, if Jesus is going to be everything, then we need to do like he did. He did never ask God to do nothing. He spoke to it. And he called his disciples to speak to it. I say again, he spoke to the tree. He didn't say, Lord, this tree don't have no figs. Lord, I pray right now that you come on down here and do something about this tree, because this tree. No, he just said, you ain't got no figs. You got leaves. Okay, you cursed. Jesus didn't pray about the sea that was the waves were billowing. He spoke to the sea. He didn't pray about the wind. Oh, this is some big wind. No, he said, be still. And then when you look even after Jesus, at the apostles, they did the same thing. Mm. You would have thought that they would have been asking Jesus to come on down here and do stuff. But no, all the apostles spoke to the situation. Now, if they had a request, something that they wanted, something that they liked, then ask God. And Father, you know, I would love to. Father, I'm asking for, this is my request. This is something that I would like. But when it comes to anything that comes against what God has already given you and said is yours because you're born again and it's the devil trying to take it, no. I demand you, devil, to get your hands off of this. I command this thing to line up with the word of God. I command this thing to come to me right now in Jesus' name. I command the windows to be open. Listen, there's a devil out there who stands in front of what God has already released. But I'm not Daniel. I'm Ken. Daniel fasted for 21 days. And God told Daniel, the angel told Daniel that there was a demon that was withstanding. There was this prince of Persia, this diabolical demonic spirit. Because God heard you the first day, but the thing was standing in the way. Well, here I am in 2013. I'm speaking to everything and anything that's standing in the way of my blessing, and I'm commanding it to get out of the way.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory.
Because I have power in me that Daniel didn't have in him.
Come on. Daniel almost saw you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So today I am more than a conqueror. And to be more than a conqueror means you not only whip the devil, it means you take his territory, you take dominion, and you take authority. So you not only spank him and kick him in the butt, you take his lunch pails, you take the keys to his car, you cause him to be immobile. He can't do it anymore because your borders have expanded. So I am more than a conqueror. I do more than just win. I take territory. That's the mindset that we have to walk in today, my brothers and my sisters. It is not being controversial. It is don't have nothing to do with religion or denominational beliefs. It has to do with the straight word of God. The strict, because you can't deny that what we say is not in the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
It's straight word of God. He never told you to turn nothing over to Jesus, give it to God, let him have it. He never said that or inferred it in any way, shape, or form. But he did tell you to speak. Speak to the mountain. If you speak to that mountain, it shall be cast into the sea. He didn't say pray about the mountain. He says speak to it.
Speak to it.
And so that's what we have to learn to do. We have this authority. We have this privilege. We have this right in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Burford. We're going to let you pray. Close us out with a prayer. And God bless you. We thank you. You got an open invitation, you know, on this line. We just appreciate God for what he's doing. And thank God for all of our listeners and all of our callers. We encourage you to send your friends and your family and your coworkers in the archives and listen to this word where they can speak to some things in their life and make some demands on some things in your life. Amen. Bless you. Prayer zone. I'll pass the Burford and Sister Ruby. You can close this out with Break Every Chain.
Okay. Father, today we do thank you again for this opportunity to be a voice piece, a mouthpiece, a mind challenger, a thought challenger. We thank you, Father God, because your power and your authority blankets the earth even right now. Hallelujah to God. I pray for those who may stumble across this who are not born again. I pray for those who may stumble across this broadcast who's in between believing that there is God and not sure that there is God. I pray for you, man or woman, who stumbles across this archive and you're depressed. I say in the name of Jesus that that demon spirit that seeks to depress you, I now get him up off of you. I rebuke him. I cast him out. I tell him that he has to go right now because the power of Christ has set you free. Man and woman, be delivered from every bondage, from every yoke, from every constriction, from every restriction of the devil, because the blood of Jesus has set you free. The blood of Jesus has purchased your redemption, your salvation. So walk in what God has already given them to you. I pray for those who are already born again and serving in your local church. I pray that the Lord God will give you strength to be different. After hearing this word today, I pray that God will give you the courage to walk in the word of God, that he would even heal your body, that he would heal you emotionally, that he would heal even your financial situations. I pray today that the Spirit of the Lord will bring us to the place where we can effect and infect our communities with the power of this gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And we'll see you all right tomorrow at the 4th of July. So it's a holiday for some. But I'll be on the line for a few minutes on tomorrow. And on Friday, we'll be back with Pastor Edward Hamilton of Houston, Texas, Provoke to Purpose Ministries for our Provoke Friday. So God bless you all. Have a beautiful holiday and be safe. In Jesus' name, Sister Ruby.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name of
Jesus.
We know where it is to break, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, say it. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army.